Professor and the Fight Nerd Radio.
This is the Fight Professor, Stephen Quadros, and you're listening to Fight Nerd Radio.
This is Danny the Upgrade Lovenstar, and you're listening to Fight Nerd Radio.
This is Martin Cannon, you're watching the FightNerd.com. This is Nathan Africa 2, and you just got schooled by the Fight Nerd.
See it? What is it?
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Not quite live from New York, you're listening to Fight Nerd Radio.
Hey, this is the Fight Nerd, and welcome to another episode of Fight Nerd Radio. Today is August 27th, 2009, and we are days away from another UFC pay-per-view. This one, headlined by the natural Randy Couture, going up against Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira. We are going to talk about that match, as well as some of the other fights coming up in the show. Joining us later also is MMA referee Josh Rosenthal. You might remember him most recently from being the ref during the Carano vs. Cyborg fight. We're going to ask him about that fight and the outcome of that fight, as well as plenty of other things. So stay tuned for all that and more coming up in the show. Before we get too deep into this episode, I just need to thank the usual suspects for supporting this show. They are CagesideMMA.com, HoodlumFightGear.com, FindMMAGym.com, and MMA Worldwide Magazine. Make sure to give them a look-see after the show. So, first off, my Mac is back. You might remember from last week there's been some drama with my computer going on. Well, my Mac is back now, and we've started to begin rolling out content once again on a more regular basis. This podcast is produced using GarageBand, and it's 100 times better than Audacity, which is the program that I was forced to use while on my PC. And it was not good to use, trust me at all. I'm sure their program is better than that one and GarageBand out there, but I'm not about to go looking for them, especially since right now I'm still in the midst of actually recovering all of the lost documents on this computer. Videos are going to be slow again, as I'm having a few problems with HD files right now, but once that's resolved, I'm going to be bumping out a ton of videos on probably a nearly daily basis for about 2 weeks just to make up for this downtime. It's going to include my interviews with Sean Sherrick, Tim Kennedy, Jamie Varner. I've got a lot of stuff that I've just been holding on to that I haven't had a chance to actually get online yet, so look forward to that and more coming up in the next 2 weeks. So I got an email last week from Strikeforce saying that Fedor was coming to town for a press workout on the 26th, which was yesterday. But sadly, I wasn't the only person to get that news. Moments later, I got that same message on my Facebook personal account, basically informing everybody and their mother, who is a member of their Facebook group, that this was going down. So yesterday at the press workout, it was pretty crowded, needless to say. I don't even need to really say that again. It was terrible in there. I would estimate somewhere between 100 to 150 fans showed up, lined up down the block to get in to see Fedor and have him sign something for them, or just to even see him. Now, add to that about 40 press people, I'd estimate, roughly. Maybe a few more, because the Russian press was there, and they always come in great numbers. Plus Strikeforce's production crew, and the members of the Fight House gym who were there to help out, since it was in their gym. And you have a ton of people in a very small room. A very, very small and very hot room. It was about 86 degrees yesterday afternoon in New York City, and in the Fight House, there is no AC, just ceiling fans and about three open windows. So mix all those people in one room under spotlights, and what do you have? The Sahara Desert of media events. Before I talk about the press, sir, I just need to be a nitpicker right now. Strikeforce, either stop inviting the public to these events or be more organized. I'm all for fans being included in these press events. In fact, if it wasn't for events like this, I would be nowhere at all in this business. But if you're going to do that, don't let it become a clusterfuck. Because there were fans there, and no one really was able to get one-on-ones after the press workout, unless they waited a very long time after Fedor was done signing all that stuff. I know many people who didn't catch the interviews they wanted, myself included, because Fedor had to sit there and sign stuff for all the fans that were there. Furthermore, there was no real RSVP for this event, just like the Carano vs. Cyborg event, and that just leads to more chaos. I like these events, and the fact that Strikeforce is trying very hard to involve the fans and spread the word of Strikeforce is a very good thing. But they need to get things straightened out for the future. And the fact that they're only limiting the number of fans to, like, I think it was maybe 100 or 150 inside the building, what's the point of even opening up to the public if you're going to limit it in the first place? Might as well just let the press have their hands on it and have Fedor go somewhere else to sign things. But that's how I would just do things. Anyway, as for the presser itself, they announced Fedor's next opponent, and guess who it is? It's Brett Rogers. That's who. Surprise, surprise. Not really. There was a mixture of groans and cheers when Scott Coker announced this. Not really sure why there were groans. Brett Rogers is a good choice, I think, for an opponent, considering who is in Strikeforce right now. And since they're not giving Fedor a title shot just yet, Rogers is the most compelling opponent, especially since, as Fedor mentioned at the presser, he knocked out Andrei Arlovsky faster than Fedor did. And that says a lot. We won't talk about if the stoppage was justified or not, but we will go with yes for now, just keep this moving along. This is an interesting match, mainly because Rogers has a lot of strength and has a similar striking style to Fedor. So he has a striker's chance of actually knocking Fedor out. It could happen, since, you know, we have seen Fedor rocked in the past by guys like even Kazuyuki Fujita back in Pride. It was rare, but it has happened. Fedor hasn't really been hit hard in a fight for some time now. If you look at his last opponents, it's been Big Tim, Andrei Arlovsky, who landed a better offense than Big Tim, but really nothing too damaging. Hangman Choi, enough said about that. He even goes as far back as Mark Coleman. Fedor has really not been damaged in some time, and my question is, what happens if Fedor does in fact get hit hard? Can he recover, or will it be the end of him? Really, I'd say the last opponent to really chase him around was Krokop, and Krokop couldn't really set up that big power strike he usually needs to get. But that was definitely the toughest fight that Fedor's had, I'd say, in a while. Rogers is a good person to test this out, so I look forward to that match, and I'm interested in what happens if, in fact, Fedor loses, but that's still some time away. They haven't actually officially announced if this fight will be in October or November yet. They said they're going to let us know by next week, so you can stay tuned for that, and that's something to keep your eyes on. Something else I find interesting is how Strikeforce is pretty much marketing a foreign fighter as their main event. And as I talked about last week, I'm still unsure if America's mainstream audience is really ready to accept a Russian who doesn't speak English as his main language as their main star. It's like if Drago was cheered in the Rocky movies by Americans. It's just kind of weird. Most hardcore fans love him, of course. Casual fans are learning to like him and learning to know who he is. But how far can they push a company helmed with a man whose English isn't that great to markets who've never seen fighting before? On the other hand, it's actually a testament to the sport of mixed martial arts that fans can accept a non-American in one of the biggest promotions for mixed martial arts as its star and treat him the same as they treat any other fighter. So, you know, we talked about this again last week. I don't want to drone on about the same subject again, but it's kind of weird to see, a foreigner being promoted like this. We've seen the UFC do it with Anderson Silva, but at the same time, he's not like the only person they're pushing. Fedor right now is pretty much the biggest push they are doing in Strikeforce to make their company number one. And can they really trust putting the company on one man's shoulders? Is this going to be like the Kimbo Slice fiasco all over again, just with a Russian this time? We'll find out. Fedor also gave his thoughts about Brock Lesnar fighting Anderson Silva, and what he thought of Frank Mir versus Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira. But if you want to hear more of that, you're going to have to watch the video, and that's on thefightnerd.com. So you can see that, plus his workout, which was basically 3 minutes long and not very impressive since his trainers weren't there with him. But nonetheless, you can see that and the answers to all those questions at thefightnerd.com right now. So it was a slow week in mixed martial arts. No major events happened this past weekend, but that doesn't mean there isn't any news. One piece of hard news this week, though, the Tap Out Training Center in Las Vegas was broken into on Monday. Joining us now to discuss the breakout in the Tap Out Training Center in Las Vegas is Kit Claw. Kit Claw, thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
All right, now, can you explain to us a little about the situation? I know there's a video online showing this guy going at it. Can you tell us, give us a breakdown of what actually happened?
Well, came in this morning around a little before 7 a.m. Usually like to get a workout before I start my day. And when I pulled up to the building, I noticed that the front window looked very clean. And it was actually clean because there was no glass in the door. So I noticed that there was broken glass all over the floor. So I immediately stopped my car, jumped out, and I seen that someone has, you know, broke into my retail store. So I proceeded to go in, see if anybody was still here in the gym, and nobody was. But, you know, I seen that a few items were missing.
How much stuff did this guy actually take? Because it looked like in the surveillance video, he was just going back and forth.
Yeah, he took he actually took a lot of a bunch of T-shirts, some of our retro metal jewelry, and I think some of our Sinister stuff as well. So he got away with quite a few items. So it took a lot of balls for him to do that. You know, I didn't know if people realize that we have cameras all over the place, and this guy got some balls.
Yeah, well, I mean, definitely people are going to know now. Can you give us a description of what you know of the burglar?
He's a white male, looks like late 20s, early 30s. We actually have our security company is actually going to enhance all the video and photos, so probably, hopefully, by the by close of business tomorrow, we should actually have a real good picture on this guy. So we'll definitely post it up everywhere. And if anybody knows a guy, we'll definitely have a reward out for him. It's the principle of the whole thing. It's not even how much, you know, what the value that he took. It's just that, you know, he broke into the gym and you know, took a few items, and that, you know, that's not a good thing to do.
Now, at the time of this recording, do you have any new information regarding any other details about him?
No, I don't. Actually, we just had the security company come in. They actually brought their software in to start doing some enhancement. And, you know, what they told us is by tomorrow they should have a pretty good clear shot. So a photo and the video will be enhanced, and they should actually get a good shot on who this guy is. Because there was, on the video you can see, you know, we got a couple good shots on him. Just, it was kind of blurry, so these guys came in and enhanced everything.
Now, is this break-in affecting classes or anything else going on at the academy?
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all.
All right, you guys are still rolling.
We actually got everything all handled up, you know, got a whole new door and everything before we even opened up the gym this morning.
How long has this gym been open? Because it's relatively new, isn't it?
Yeah, it's only been open since the end of June. We've had a soft kind of thing. We should really go balls to the wall in the next about 30 to 45 days. We'll have all 20,000 square feet built out to the T, and we also have two tap-out MMA clubs built around Vegas in these gold gyms. And we got about 30 tap-out training centers opening throughout the country in the next 6 months.
Oh, sounds good. All right. So now what would you do to prevent this from happening again in the future? Are there any like metal gates out front?
You know, we did have some grids up on the glass before, and someone broke in before, and you know, that didn't even stop it, so it actually made the whole thing worse, because then they bent all of the metal brackets. But we have a tougher security force that will be here pretty much 24/7 now. So definitely people that try to do this again will definitely get some sort of retaliation immediately. You know, the guy was only in here for 3 minutes, but it's only going to take, you know, a minute for someone to stop this from happening on our end.
Well, hopefully it won't happen again. Now, you just mentioned some other details about the gym. How can people find out more information about your academy?
Definitely check us out on the web at tapoutlasvegas.com. You can also go to tapout.com. We're on the front page of that too. You know, hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, MySpace. We're all Tapout Las Vegas, and we got all of our information, you know, pretty much all over.
Okay, and if anybody has any information regarding this case, how can they contact you to give you any details or information about the suspect?
Give us a call at 702-838-2582, and just let us know that they got information, and we can, we'll definitely take down their information, take down the name, number, and if this leads to us finding this guy, you know, we'll definitely take care of him with the reward. Like I said, it's about the whole principal thing. You know, you don't break into this facility and get away scot-free. You know, we will find this person, and he will get dealt with. I don't know if the person realized exactly who we are and what we do. So when we find this guy, definitely he will know exactly what industry we're in.
Yeah, hopefully you can find this guy and have Chuck Liddell knocking his door and say hello to him.
Yeah, there is a little update. I think we kind of got an idea on who this guy is, so we're following that lead right now, and if it turns out to be the person that we're thinking it is, we'll probably have this thing solved up by the end of the day.
All right, well, hope that works out.
And have a new video posted.
All right, and once again, that number is 702-838-2582 if you have any information regarding this case. Okay, Kiko, thank you very much for being on the show.
All right, thank you.
As of the time of this podcast being made, the suspect is still at large, and if you have any information, don't be shy. You can remain anonymous if you wish to. So don't worry about being a snitch. Help us find this guy and put him where he belongs. Other news this week, Chris Cyborg is fresh off of her win over Gina Carano, which gave her the Strikeforce 145-pound women's title, is being awarded with a gym of her own. Shootbox founder Rudimar Federigo told Portal das Lutas, that's my Portuguese accent, and I quote, "We talked a lot about it after the event, and the Cyborg couple, Chris and Evangelista, will take the helm for a shootbox in the United States. In the coming days, we should announce something about it, like where the gym will be." Santos' Strikeforce title is the 8th world title the Academy has achieved, so it didn't just make it into the history of women's MMA, but into that of the Academy. I'm really happy, there is great motivation behind it, with everyone training with desire and joy, and now Chris will keep it up to hold on to her belt. There has still been no announcement as to the location of this new gym, but this is a big sign of confidence for women's MMA. How many mixed martial arts gyms can you think of that have a female fighter teaching to begin with, let alone one where the main coach is going to be a woman? Here's hoping they open that gym up in New York City. And finally, some odd news this week. We have more information regarding Chuck Liddell, who will be appearing on Dancing with the Stars next month. According to Entertainment Tonight Online, the Iceman has been partnered with Russian professional ballroom dancer Anna Trebunskaya, whose previous partners on the show include NFL legend Jerry Rice and actor Steve Guttenberg, from such great movie series as Police Academy and Short Circuit, and probably some very bad porn movies he doesn't want to remember. Some pics of them training have been posted online, and to be honest, it's just weird seeing Chuck on his tiptoes like that. I don't know how to react to this strange trip that is Chuck Liddell being on Dancing with the Stars, but after all, sometimes the strangest trip is just being sober. Are you going to be watching the season of Dancing with the Stars? I haven't decided if I will yet, and chances are, I've got no cable, so I probably will be, so I'll see you there. Alright, so with that, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be joined by referee Josh Rosenthal. So stick around to get a referee's perspective on the fight game. We'll be right back. Fight Nerd Radio is sponsored by Cageside MMA, carrying brands from around the world such as Triumph United, Clinch Gear, Twins, Windy, and Bad Boy, as well as their own well-crafted brand of Cageside MMA products. CagesideMMA.com is your internet superstore for all MMA gear and apparel. Battle-tested and fighter-approved, you won't find better quality or better service from any other site carrying their variety of gear, apparel, and workout equipment. Head over to CagesideMMA.com where you can shop 24/7 or call 919-477-1999 Monday through Friday. If you don't, you'll regret it. CagesideMMA.com. And we're back on Fight Nerd Radio. Joining me now is an experienced referee in mixed martial arts, and that would be Josh Rosenthal. Josh, thanks for being here today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So how's it going this weekend? I heard you were refereeing some smaller shows up in outside of Vegas or California this weekend?
Yeah. Small show at Buffalo Bills Casino out there. Some good fighters, some good guys.
Any good standouts you've seen from that show?
Any
standout fighters you've seen from that show?
No, it was a lot of just entry-level guys, but everyone really showed a lot of talent, so it's, we definitely got some good guys coming out, coming up in the scene right now.
Right. Now, the last time a lot of us have actually seen you was at the Strikeforce event about 2 weeks ago, which was Carano vs. Cyborg, and you were the referee in that main event. I want to ask you a few questions about that fight coming into it. What were your thoughts on the matchup itself?
I thought it was a good matchup. And, it was a fight that everyone wanted to see. I think both of them wanted to have it happen as well. So, can't really get better than that.
Were you worried that Carano or Cyborg might not make weight for this fight?
No, I think it was at 145, which is an easy weight for both of them to meet, I think. I know Cyborg had trouble making weight the last time, but, things happen. People come in off weight every once in a while. But I think she took this fight really seriously and did what she needed to do to make weight.
Yeah, and they definitely came in and they made weight with no problems this time around. It was a great fight. And, tell us about it from your perspective, because you're right there in the cage with them. I mean, being that close, what's it like to watch that kind of fight happen?
I'm just there to, just to make sure nothing wrong happens. It's a trip. It's an honor to, to actually be able to referee fights like that, and that those fighters feel safe enough to have us in there that they can give 100%. And know that we're there to stop it when it's right, and that they trust us with that.
Is it hard not to be a fan when you're watching these fights on Roll, since, like I said, you are that close to the action? Is it hard to kind of separate yourself from being a fan and refereeing this fight, or fights in general?
Not really. It's just, I'm there to do a job, and that's what I'm there to do. That's my focus. The fan doesn't really have anything to do with it. I'm a fan of the sport. I want to see the sport progress in the proper manner, and safety is a big part of that, and so that's how I approach it.
All right, that was a pretty tough fight to referee. Towards the end of the fight, Cyborg was pretty much just taking control of that matchup, and the fight was stopped with 1 second to go. Now, what did you think about the end of that fight? Since you were, of course, in the ring, you're the one who stopped that fight. Did you think Gino would have been able to continue after that round?
I don't know. That's not really my, that's not really what I'm there to determine, It's, she was in a bad spot. That time, a bad spot, and that's about it, really. The one second at the end of the round doesn't really, I can't really think about that type of thing, it's that last second, of the round is just as important as the right in the middle of the round. I don't think about the clock in that way. It's not fair to the other fighters, if I do think of that. I'm gonna let this person have the round. I mean, you're not being fair to the other fighter. So the fight has to go the way it's supposed to go, and the clock there, people are like the 10 second, clock. That's just to let us know the round's almost out, to be able to position ourselves in a way that we can effectively stop it at the end of the round. So it's not really there as a buffer for us to make a decision. It's not our job to make it out of the round.
Now, did Gina say anything to you after that fight? Because I saw on the referee cam, it looked like she had said some words to you after you stopped the fight. Was there any conversation between you two at the end of that fight?
No, she didn't say anything to me. She just kind of looked up and looked a little gassed, and at that point, the doc in the corner came. So she actually didn't say anything to me. We haven't talked or anything since earlier that evening.
Have you heard any news from her about any possible injuries or anything like that?
No, I think she actually got it without really anything, There was no suspensions as far as I know. So I think she relatively came out unscathed.
So have you gotten any feedback from this fight? Any criticism that's either positive or negative from the fans or anybody else regarding this finish?
Not really. Everyone I've spoken to that's spoken to me about it has been very positive about the whole thing.
It's definitely a tough call to make.
You should just talk when you were supposed to do it. And that's about it. It was the right, in my mind, it was a just stop, and I gave her her chance to fight back, and she chose not to, or was unable to. I don't want to say chose, but, was caught in a spot where she had to feel like she had to defend herself, try to escape the position, and it gives me, that's she's physically telling me the fight's over,
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a hard call to make. If I was in your shoes, I definitely would have done the same thing, though. I completely agree with your stoppage of that fight. It looked like Gina wasn't going to be able to do much of anything else. The whole round, for the most part, she was kind of being overwhelmed, it seemed.
She gained some good positions on the ground. She landed a couple of good, clean shots. She got caught in a bad spot, and only takes one punch to change the momentum. If she had fought back and made it out of the round, who knows what could happen, but that's just the way it goes, Yeah, it's kind of, it is what it is.
And I want to take a few steps backwards from the Strike Force fight that you just refereed. I want to talk about your history in martial arts and refereeing. What actually got you to want to become a referee in mixed martial arts?
It was a combination of kind of watching what some of the refs early on were doing and wasn't really happy with that. And felt like I would be able to do a better job, to be honest. And just tried to get in and do the best I could to protect the fighters, but give them every chance they have that they're there to do. So that's kind of how I got into it. It's just kind of, it's the wrong place at the right time, you know. because it was kind of the Wild West back then. It was there were no commissions or anything, and everyone was pretty much running it the way they felt they should. So that's kind of how I got into it. You know, I've been training jiu-jitsu since 92. They felt like I had a good background in game and that I was would be a fair and even-headed person and be able to do it without any emotional, attachments or anything. And that's what I try to do. I know a lot of fighters for years because it's a small circle. We all know each other. It's a small world, right? So, and everyone gets a fair shake is how I look at it.
So what was the first show that you worked?
The first show that I worked were with the IFC, and that was starting in 98.
And what was that experience like for you? Were you a little bit nervous on your first day?
I think earlier in the day, yeah, but as soon as I got in there and the gate closes and the lights are on, at least for me, like I don't think about any of the outside stuff. I'm focused on what I need to do, and that's just kind of So I haven't really gotten the stage right, but you do them. Before big shows, sometimes you get a little butterflies going, but that's a good thing because it gets you on your toes and gets you alert and it puts you in the right mindset. You don't want to be complacent and lackadaisical because that's only someone gets hurt, and our job is to make sure that doesn't happen.
Definitely. Do you remember any of the outcomes from that event you worked at, the very first one? What was your first act as referee, if you remember that?
I remember fought on the show, and he beat a guy that was training with John Lober. I can't remember. I mean, that's like the only fight that stands out in my mind that night.
Well, how many fights have you refereed at this point? Because you've been around since you mentioned since 98. So how many fights do you think you've actually refereed in your history of refereeing?
Not like individual shows, but like individual matches or fights, Yeah, no, that doesn't touch somebody, probably double that. He's burning a lot of shows, Herb's got a lot of experience on the board as well. John, way up there as well, I'm probably the middle of the line there. Middle of the bell curve.
So what's been your favorite match that you've gotten a referee before, or something that you've been really excited to actually referee?
I'm not really excited to referee certain matches, but matches that have turned out to be pretty incredible matches I've worked with, I always tell everybody is Bob Lou against Chosen at the Global Domination Tournament in Denver. It was an eight-man light heavyweight tournament, and it was Trevor Pangley, Forrest Griffin, Shogun, Bobaloo, Eric Bendley, Jeremy Horn, who else?
That's going way back. I can't remember all those guys.
Yeah.
I remember watching that tournament. That was a pretty great tournament.
That was a great tournament, and cobbler had the long ride up the mountain, and Horn got the short ride up the mountain. And they had a great fight at the end of the night. There you go. But the fight that's always been one of my favorite matches, and you can still dig it up on YouTube, is Bob Luver shows. That was their second fight in the tournament. That was the semifinal.
Yes. Fight a lot of people have forgotten now, I think, unfortunately. It's a great fight.
Oh, it's an incredible fight. Incredible fight. And, you know, just the technical aspect and the heart that both guys showed is just incredible.
So, did you say that was your favorite match referee of all time?
Yeah, I think so. I think I would definitely say that's one of my favorite matches.
Well, anyway.
I mean, I have to say the Guidas Sanchez fight was a great one to be there too. I mean, those guys really, you know, like I said, for them to feel 100% that they can leave it on the line like that and not hold back and worry about their safety, knowing that in the back of their mind that I'm there, you know, or Herb's there, whatever, but that we allow them to feel that safe and comfortable, you know, is just great. And then to have a fight like that, I really just put everything out there. There was nothing left at the end. But both of them ready to go. They could win. That could have been a championship fight right there. That could have been five rounds, and they would have kept going at that same pace.
Yeah, it's crazy to think of it, but they would have.
You know, they would have. Those two would have kept going that exact pace next two rounds. And that's a great matchup right there.
Now, something I've always wondered about refereeing in general, how does a referee stay unbiased during a fight? Like, let's say you've got a fighter that you are really maybe a big fan of. How do you keep yourself detached and stay neutral?
We're not fans. That's, you know, you can't be a fan. It doesn't work. No. You can't be a fan. I'm not a fan of any one fighter in particular. You know, I appreciate everybody for everything that they bring to the table. But it's you have to love the sport, not the player, you know.
Definitely. Now,
it's like watching football. You can, you know, I only have a favorite football team, but I love watching football. You know, and same with basketball. I only really have a team I root for, but I like and enjoy watching the sport.
Now, what's been one of the scariest moments for you inside the ring or cage when you're refereeing? Has there ever been a moment where something bad just happened?
I worry about guys sometimes, they, you know, when they do get hurt. You know, it's not like one time in particular. There are moments where somebody takes a hard knockout or a hard slam and you know they're hurt. And then, if something happens outside of our control, you know, we just try to beat it as quick as we can. Yeah, you know, we're the first person with that fighter. Before the doctors, before anything. So, you know, you get worried, we care about them. You know, or else we wouldn't be doing this. So, you want to make sure they're safe. And so, there can be some scary moments, but there's nothing like in particular that comes to mind.
All right, now tell us a few things about you that aren't just for referee related. You know, a lot of fans only know you as a referee. What do you do outside of that?
I used to work electrical. I'm an electrical contractor, but it's pretty much I'm a referee full time now. I teach jujitsu and train myself, and that's about it. I enjoy spending time with my daughter.
Has she made you see any movies this summer?
That what?
Has she made you see any movies this summer that you wouldn't normally go out and see?
Nah, she's only 16 months, so she hasn't taken control of that yet.
You dodged that bullet, no, just for now, at least.
Yeah. But I'm sure it's coming. I'm sure all the princess movies will be coming down the line here in the next year, so.
Would you ever want your daughter fighting in mixed martial arts?
Hopefully she'll grow up doing the jiu-jitsu and probably some striking, and if that's the choice she wants to make, that's up to her. When I look at her right now, I gotta say no, because she's just, she's my little girl. But when she's older, 19, 20, and been training all that time, and if that's something she feels like she wants to experience, I'll cross that road when I come to it.
Now, I know before you mentioned you had to remain unbiased and you can't really be a fan, but are you allowed to actually make any predictions for any fights coming up?
I'm not good at making predictions, man. It's like, whenever I think something's going to happen, it always goes the other way. Being real, I'm outside the ring, I think about stuff. Mixed martial arts, the banana peel is out there for anybody. And you can be the baddest guy, and you can slip on the banana peel. It can happen to anybody. And that's the beauty of the sport. It doesn't pan out on paper. It's that day, those individuals, what they bring to the table, at that moment, So it's hard. It's not really good at making predictions.
Well, with that said, and you mentioned that proverbial banana peel, is there a fighter you think that might be slipping on that banana peel anytime soon? Like maybe Anderson Silva or Fedor Emelianenko or Lyoto Machida?
I mean, those guys are like at the top of their game right now. Will they lose? It's inevitable when you step away. The decision when to step away. It's inevitable that you will, if you fight consistently, eventually will lose. It may not mean that you get physically beat, but you might lose the decision. I mean, it's inevitable, Those guys losing the next fight, I have to say, the way things are looking, probably not. So I think Machida's a really tough puzzle. What he does, not a lot of people do anymore. That's, the way he uses karate and stuff. And, he's a true martial artist and he approaches it like that. So it's a little bit different than what people are used to. Anderson's just in a great mental spot, training, everything. He's at a pinnacle right now. He might get lackadaisical and someone might beat him. It happens. He lost the guys he's not supposed to lose to, in the past. So, you never know. Fedor, that's another one. I mean, that guy, he's just so mentally tough. Besides his skill, which is unquestionably top-notch, mentally, he's just so tough and just so calm. It's hard to break his rhythm. Even when things go bad, you get to see the calmness in him that a lot of people don't have. And it's who knows where that comes from,
Now, The Ultimate Fighter Season 10, I believe, just wrapped up filming. I wanted to ask if you were actually involved in the taping of that show and being referee in any of those fights.
Yeah. I did some of the fights on there.
Okay, and I know you can't tell us any exact information, but overall, the fights you refereed, what can we look forward to as far as exciting matchups? Yeah, I know you can't tell us who's got where, but what can we look forward to?
I can't. You'll watch and you'll enjoy it. That's about as far as I can go.
Are we going to be seeing any big knockouts or awesome submissions?
You'll have to watch and see.
All right, good answer. All right, now you're not going to be working UFC 102 this weekend, are you?
No, okay. But I will be watching.
All right, so I would like to get your opinion on what you think of Nogueira versus Couture coming up.
I think that's a good matchup. I think that has the potential to be a very, very technical fight.
Who do you see coming on top of that one?
Incredible takedown ability and good strategy. Guy with good boxing and good positions. It could be a really, really good matchup.
Who do you see as far as coming out on top of that fight?
What do you mean?
As far as the winner of the fight.
I don't know.
Well, who would you like to see win if you could? As a fan, not as a professional, but as a fan, who would you like to see win?
I
It's tough on the call.
I don't know. It's like a caliber, you just can't tell.
Yeah, I'm kind of dreading to make a prediction for that fight also, so I can see where you're coming from.
When you get a top-notch guy like that, it really is. It's just too hard to tell who's going to knock him out. Never know what you know. Someone can not take a dump in the morning and be feeling real sluggish and lose a fight because of that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm sure it's happened too.
It's that small of a thing that can make or break a fight. You know what I mean? You're a millisecond slower than you would have been, so you get clipped or this or that. You know, and, you know, maybe you didn't drink enough water in the morning and cramp in your hamstring and then you get caught with a submission because you're like, oh my god, you know, oh my calf, and all of a sudden you're in an arm lock. You never know, you know. It's just, I'll tell you, it was a good fight. Nate and Myers fight.
Yep.
Maybe best classic striker group ever. You know, there's some good stuff coming on there, so.
It's definitely going to be a card to look forward to. All right, now, Josh, how do we get in contact with you if we want to have you referee one of our shows sometime?
Anyone can hit me up at my email, Ronin@AOL.
All right, so there you have it, folks. Josh Rosenthal, referee for hire. And I'm sure you'll see him coming up at some other UFCs and Strikeforce events in the very near future, as well as the Ultimate Fighter Season 10. All right, so Josh, thank you very much for your time today.
And let me just throw out my website coming up here is MMAref.tv. So check that out. We're going to going on there as well.
That's MMAref.tv?
Yep, MMAref.tv.
All right, that's your plug for the day, Josh. Enjoy.
Oh, man.
All right, thank you very much, Josh, and good luck in the future.
All right, cool. All right, thanks a lot. Have a good one.
Thank you. Fight Nerd Radio is sponsored by Hoodlum Fight Gear. Check out their gear and apparel at hoodlumfightgear.com. Also by Boston Brawler. Whether you're a Red Sox or a Yanks fan, you can't deny good designs. Check out bostonbrawler.com. And also by findmmagym.com. Looking for an MMA gym near you? Head to the best site to find your new place to train at findmmagym.com. And we are back, and you just heard from Josh Rosenthal, who is taking the weekend off from UFC 102, but not the Fight Nerd. Even though I'm not going to be in Portland in person, it's time to give my two cents on the fights going down. First off, what will be probably a great fight, Nate Marquardt takes on Damian Maia, and this fight is most likely to decide who fights Anderson Silva after Hendo has his second shot at the middleweight title and gets his face smashed in. I give this one to Nate the Great through aggression, position, and wrestling, but it's not going to be an easy fight for him to keep Maia down, since I really don't see much else that Nate can do to him on the ground. I don't expect bombs to be thrown from either one of these guys during this fight, so I expect it just to be a very tactical grappling battle with Nate coming out on top. Keith Jardine versus Thiago Silva at light heavyweight. I'm leaning towards Jardine in this one, but I'm not really particularly interested in this match that much. Even though it's probably got some importance in the title scene, supposedly, if Dana White actually sticks to his guns, these fighters do not particularly interest me at this time. I don't think either one has a realistic shot at the light heavyweight title right now, and I really don't expect this to be an exciting matchup. I think it's going to turn kind of dull, kind of fast. That's just my opinion. I'm not really a big Jardine fan. Not really too big on Thiago Silva either. I think it's going to probably go a little back and forth in the beginning, and then just kind of slow down, and not much else will happen. That's that. Let's move on. Kasos, Christoph Szczesinski is taking on Brandon the Truth Vera, and what I am hoping will end with a TKO or KO of Brandon Vera. Christoph is a serious competitor, and Vera has not done too well against good fighters, to put it bluntly. And this is going to be a match that I think will cement Szczesinski in the heavyweight division as a legit contender down the line. Finally, my underdog pick for this show, I'm going to pick Chris Tuchscherer over Gabriel Gonzaga. You might remember Chris from Yama Pit Fighting, since he was a runner-up in their single heavyweight tournament last year, coming down to the finals with Travis View. Travis won that fight by decision. Chris is also Brock Lesnar's sparring partner. So with that said, what can Gonzaga really do to hurt Chris? Not much short of hitting him with a crowbar. I don't think that's going to really do much to him. Chris has been, he's had a pretty tremendous win streak since the Yamaha, and even before the Yamaha, actually, so I expect him to continue his winning and winning this fight by decision over Gonzaga. And finally, the main event, which is really a fight that should have happened years ago, but it's not, but at least we're getting it now. Randy the Natural Couture takes on Antonio Rodrigo Minotauro Nogueira. What a long name. It's hard to imagine that Nog is younger than Randy, since if you look at them, the Natural has aged a lot better than Big Nog. And it's funny to think about how these guys seem to have missed each other when they were both in rings, especially when they fought in the same tournament, the King of Kings tournament in 2000. They actually were both in the same bracket. It's funny to think that they didn't actually run into each other back then. Both men are coming off of tough losses, Couture against Lesnar and Nog against Mir, in what was possibly the upset of the year in 08. So who's going to take this epic matchup that should have happened years ago? I am a loyal Nogueira follower, so I'm going to say that he's going to take it. I don't think he's going to have to absorb that much damage with Randy. I just hope he doesn't eat too many punches and ends up kissing the canvas. It's a shame that this isn't a title fight, so he can go 5 rounds. It's two of my favorite fighters here going at it, and really, the fans are going to be the winners here. Couture could take this one too, don't get me wrong, but I'm just leaning towards Nog here as a fan, and stylistically, I could see Nog taking it, but then again, Couture has proved me wrong in the past before. I just also hope that Randy's head is clear for this fight, since he's going through his own drama right now with his divorce situation with Kim, and there are a lot of factors in this fight that could change the outcome each time if it happened again and again. It's really the best fight on this card. It's just a pity that it wasn't a few years ago back when they were both at the top of their game, because they really both peaked at the same time. Overall, the card for this UFC is not that compelling. There's no title fight on the show, and a few matches going on are going to supposedly tell us who are contenders in the title scene, but it's really just missing something, even with a main event like Couture vs. Nogueira. Maybe they'll prove me wrong and it'll be a great show. I'm just not holding my breath for this card. I think the UFC needs to slow down a bit instead of pumping out so many events rapid fire, build some more drama with their fights, or else they're going to turn to WWE, which has like 16 pay-per-views a year and, you know, titles changing hands constantly, which is really what's happening to the UFC right now anyway. There's like probably close to 16 pay-per-views a year going on, and the titles are changing hands left and right. And that's not necessarily a good thing. So with all of that, this is going to wrap up this episode of Fight Nerd Radio. I want to thank my sponsors again. They are CageSideMMA.com, HoodlumFightGear.com, FindMMAGym.com, and MMA Worldwide Magazine. Special thanks to Kekwa of Tap Out Training Center, and sorry for butchering your name earlier in the show, and Josh Rosenthal for the interviews, and thanks to you for listening. Join us next week as our guest is going to be the host of ESPN's MMA Live, John Anik. So make sure to be here next week for another episode of Fight Nerd Radio. Thanks for listening.